Though I do love my makeup routine, I feel like I want to spice it up a little bit. I could use a bit of a refresher because I've been doing the same thing for a while. However, I will definitely still use the same makeup line I've been using for 4 years now. And so whether I'm just simply adding my Liquid Lash Extensions mascara by Thrive Cosmetics for an everyday touch of mascara look, or going all out with their highlighter, eyeliner, and eyeshadow for some full glam, I simply love applying Thrive Cosmetics to my face. And why? Well, the quality is honestly impeccable, and they support a great cause. It's even in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, Cause. So Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare aim to empower customers, employees, and giving partners to live confidently. And they practice responsive giving, donating high-performance products or much-needed funds to help communities thrive. I can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. I'll never give that up. Even if as I refresh and redo my makeup routine, I'll always be using their Liquid Lash Extensions, because their unique formula creates tubes around each lash, lengthening them. And it's super easy to remove. It just slides right off with some warm water and there's no smudging. Plus, it has some nourishing ingredients which help support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And as someone with blonde eyebrows, I also appreciate their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. I love it. You can't beat it. And so you can line your brows to give them structure and create natural-looking strokes. I love the natural look to fill in sparse areas. It even comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows after application, and they have 8 shades to choose from, and it adjusts to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Pretty awesome. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
You have to write a dream, right? If it's a career dream, if it's a love dream, if it's a body dream, family dream, friendship. So there's all these areas where you have to write a dream, right? And then how you succeed at it and what are the rules for it, like your boundaries, what you need, what you want, what you'll accept and what you won't accept, right? It really is a process of answering questions and going through a lot of thinking. I teach people to design their lives, right? Like you'll design a business, you'll design your house, but people don't even design their friendships.
Hello, hello, yummies. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And yes, I missed last week's episode. Why? Well, because I'm a procrastinator, and I just happened to get sick when I needed to edit and post, and I was so bummed, and it's taught me a great lesson. One of my new goals, which this episode talks a lot about dreams and designing your day, designing your life. So I'm going to start perhaps not procrastinating like I am so great at, since I'm also the editor, producer, one hat person basically for this podcast, except for Red Circle. Red Circle does help me get sponsorships. And there is a link, by the way, if you are interested in finding a hosting company to help you with sponsorships for your podcast, feel free to click the link in my show notes to join Red Circle. Highly recommend. I've been with them since 2020. Love, love, love. Anyway, yeah, I was wildly sick with the flu for the second time in 6 months. That's not good. So I'm going to be working on optimizing my immune system. Anyway, it was worth it because I believe I got it from the Sphere in Vegas, which I've been wanting to go to. It was a very spontaneous trip that my boyfriend's godparents invited us down. They are Grateful Dead fans, also known as Deadheads, and they got us tickets to see Dead & Co. at the Sphere. John Mayer was one of the leads. It was incredible, perhaps one of the most incredible experiences of my life, especially being able to watch the graphics and feeling like I am falling into the screen. And I was dead sober, but I felt like I was tripping while watching these wild visuals. And I was very jealous of anybody that might have been, you know, not sober. But it's one of those experiences where you can be sober and still really enjoy it. You don't have to be on shrooms or something else. It's so massive. It consumes you. It's a 10-10 experience. But I do wonder if I got the flu from there. And that's okay. It was worth it. It was worth getting sick. Today's the first day I actually feel better and my voice sounds better. So I am really excited to work and record and edit. And this episode inspired me in a lot of ways because I want to dream and I want to dream how I can evolve and uplift Your Own Magic, the podcast. And Lauren Zander, today's special guest, Lauren Zander, has a lot of tips and tricks up her sleeve to help us out with our dreams. Lauren is a relationship and life coach with over 20 years of experience, and she's the CEO of The Handle Group. And she's the brilliant mind behind The Handle Method, which is taught at 35 top universities across the country, and inner.u. And she has an online coaching course that offers profound insights into life, career, and love. But what I love about her system, her method, it is evidence-based, hence why so many universities actually use her system, her method, because it has been proven to work. You know, I love the woo-woo. I love people coming up with creative systems. But when a institute that is very prestigious and also very particular, who only really cares to teach their students something evidence-based, decides to use it, that says a lot. That says wonders, speaks wonders. So I was in when I heard about Lauren and her method, and I wanted to hear from Lauren herself. And she provides advice in a very direct yet unfiltered way. And that's why many celebrities go to her, including Hugh Jackman, who says Lauren has changed his life. So in this episode, we explore a wide range of topics with Lauren, including the importance of dreams and how to overcome the obstacles that stand in their way. And we discuss practical strategies for removing bad habits, the significance of personal boundaries, and how to increase your confidence through self-talk. Also, Lauren shares her insight and wisdom on choosing the right people to surround ourselves with. And we dive into her concept of the 12 areas of life and how to design your day for success. So with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Lauren Zander. What is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
Wow. I just came back from New York. I have a 21 turning 22 year old daughter who is a little workaholic, and she took 2 weeks off to spend with me, right?
That is so sweet. As a workaholic, that's not easy.
And then I got her vacation time, right? And then really she wanted my wallet. It's okay because she's a foodie. She's becoming a chef. She made reservations at every place she ever wanted to go. And for 2 weeks straight, I overate.
When you're out of town, you're supposed to indulge.
So you can hear why it was just, you know, it's like my big girl is 21, yeah. 22. It's very exciting.
And she wants to be a chef. Does she want to be, I know this is not her interview, but I'm curious, does she want to be like a private in-home chef, or she wants to work at a restaurant?
She's at a John George restaurant. So she really loves like the most fancy, elegant food. And then she just took a job that she's going to start where she really gets to design the menu. So she's really creative. And yeah, she never went to college, never cared, and was working since she was 16. Yeah. So
that's amazing. As someone who's paying off their student loans, I'm like, yeah, cheers to her. And I've been out of college for a decade now.
Yes, yes.
Still paying.
You know.
So yeah, go her.
Yeah.
Go her.
Yeah.
Has she tried your program, and are you?
That was, you know, that's a really fun, the answer is no.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm allowed to coach her, yeah. Right? I'm allowed to coach her. And then I go, I even said to her, you know, can we talk about it? Am I allowed to bring this up? Do you want to hear? I have to get permission to coach her. And then she goes, what do you think, Mom? I was raised by you. I of course I know the program. I get it.
You ingrained it in me. That's why she also works well.
I need to be asked to coach, right? Like I'm not like coaching it, like I'll aim my coaching at you, mm-hmm. right? Especially my kids.
Of course.
Yes. So I would say no.
She has no. not been in the program. But she knows. Well, I would love to hear your story and what made you realize that becoming a relationship and life coach, I think that's interesting, a relationship coach as well as a life coach, was something that you would enjoy doing with your life.
I studied environmental science. I got a BS from GW in environmental studies. And my line, which really is still true, is I used to be save the trees, kill the people. Right. I really was. I was like, I know that the trees are mad, like God's in the trees.
Right.
Like the planet is beautiful. Right. Yeah. And I was really that girl. And then studied that and then got my first job out of college at the United Nations Global Environment Facility. Like I had arrived in my dream life.
That's fancy.
And hate it. No, it was terrible. It was a tragedy. It was like, I hated the job. Like by the time I was 22, I was miserable. What is environmentalism? Like I had never considered what the job would be. Mm-hmm. And so what I then in this moment of misery and I wasted all this money on college, I was like, my problem is not the environment. My problem is that people don't see the trees. Right. And people don't. Why are people like this? And so then I started my journey down self-help highway. And I did the only courses that I found and understood existed. And then I went to work for that company. And then I ran away from that company screaming. And then I started out on my own, right? Like one person at a time. And that was when I was 28.
That is amazing. So then what inspired you to create the Handle group and also InterU?
So I was on my own. And then I... Basically, I got bored. Like, really, what am I going to be like a practice where by the time I die, I'll have coached 643 people? I'll make good money, but like, really? Is that enough for me? And I was like, no, I have a much bigger dream. I want to break into universities. I want to change education. I want to change, you know, how business, I went into businesses, I went into lives, and I went into love. Right. And I basically wanted to help people dream. Right. So, and then by the time I had been doing it for about 5 or 6 years, I got an opportunity to go into MIT and start doing courses for their students, like offer them. And then I got hundreds and hundreds, and I spent students over the years and got to do a human study there and develop all of my programs.
That's no joke.
No, it was awesome. And then I worked at Stanford Business School for 7 years and taught there. So I got to develop the method and practice it and refine it. And then I taught it to other coaches so I can license it.
That's amazing. It's very evidence-based then, because of course an institute like Stanford or also MIT, they're not going to just take any sort of life coaching business. Like it has to be very, you've really done the research and it's very evidence-based and you've done the work.
I've done the work. Yeah, I've done the work. And those are the content in inner, there's inner you love, there's inner you life, and there's inner you career. And those are my three areas of expertise. And each one of those programs is different. And has my all the work I did at Stanford and MIT, like the work I developed is in those modules and in the course. And then if you buy it, I am teaching free classes to anyone who owns.
Oh, that's nice.
That's how I roll. And then I have very fancy clients.
Of course.
I got like people who really, really care.
So that way you can serve the others that might not be able to easily afford this.
That is my dream. That's how I roll, which is people who really want one-on-one. I love doing that. I love it.
Yeah.
And then I sell Inner You and lead classes in a classroom setting. So that's my jam.
That's very cool. And I mean, that's your dream and you're helping other people live their dream. What do you think usually stops people from pursuing their dream?
They don't come up with them.
Okay.
Like I actually had a woman that was on Instagram with me and she started to listen to my book. I wrote a book and she started to listen to the book and she was like, she's in Scotland and she goes, I didn't even know how to answer the question in the 12 areas of life, what my dreams are, right? Like I never even thought about
the 12 areas of life.
Yeah. So I break life out into 12 different areas and I ask you to write your vision or your dream for yourself in each of the areas so that you start to, and the reason behind it, like even the science behind it, is that we, over 80% of our thoughts are negative in our heads, guys. Like it's sad times everything, right? So we do, yeah. So free will is the ability to direct yourself to think about what you want to think about, guys. And so I realized that very early on that I wanted to live in a dream state, right? Not a fantasy, but like a vision where I could take actions and follow not what my head was scared of. So you ask the question, what's the big problem? I'm like, people don't dream and the voice in their head is the voice of fear and vices. It's like a combo, it's a dance between fear and vices and your parents, sorry, right? And your parents and your upbringing. It's a lot more comprehensive, which is in the, like, that's what I do, right? Like I make it simple, but it's not that simple.
Well, it sounds a little intimidating too, but also freeing. How do you shift the self-talk? Because we have, I mean, intrusive thoughts, negative thoughts, yet you somehow know how to shift your mind from those. And it's some of us feel like we can't really control them.
First of all, it's actually amazing to do a process where if you write down your negative inner dialogue, you will find out you actually aren't that interesting. That voice only has 6 storylines, right? Like it has 4 storylines. You're fat. You're never going to make more money. No one's going to love you, right? And, you know, it's all your dad's fault, right? Right? Like some variation of, and how could they, and who did that, and don't ask for that, and I hope he likes you, right? So there's like, so no one tracks their negative inner dialogue. And so in my program, I really have people for 2 weeks, just like if I would make you track how much money you're spending over 2 weeks, every dollar you spend, and that's the only way to know what you're doing with money. If you don't write down your negative inner dialogue, you have no idea what it's up to. Once you write it out and stop protecting it and hiding it, and you actually like let it out and write it down, like what the fuck is it saying? And let someone even talk about it with you and look at it, it stops having the same kind of power. And then I help you dissect it and I help you replace it. So there really is, put a name on it, start to figure out where it came from. There really is a way to dismantle your negative inner dialogue. But what is even better than dismantling your negative inner dialogue is to have what you are focusing on, like the dream combined with taking down the negative self-talk. That combo is rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's 1 + 1 = 3.
That's so good. So you're not suppressing it. You're actually releasing it because you're able to get to the root of it and see maybe it's not so true. You don't have to hold on to it.
And I give it nicknames. I make you give nicknames to it. I make you make fun of it. I get you to like stop associating that your inner dialogue is you. Like we listen to that voice in our head like it's God, right? Not like, that's the worst suggestion I ever heard, right? And I tell very funny stories through the modules so you can actually get the concept.
Right.
So people have not, like, unless you've like listened to someone making fun of their own inner dialogue for real, not like it's my dad's fault, but like really. So there really is, we learn. And if you haven't spent time studying your negative inner dialogue, literally, how in God's name are you going to stop it? Like if you don't study your money and manage your money and know where your money's going, how are you going to save it and know what you want to do with it? It seems pretty logical.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy corporate card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
How often should we do this? Because I was thinking, like, it's not like, I mean, I have so many thoughts a day. Several of them might be negative. Do I just stop and write in my notes really fast, or do I journal at night or morning?
No. Honestly, 3 times a day. Or if you catch, so the rules I put in is if you're under an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, la, 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 mm-hmm. life's great. Above an 8, right? I actually have a scale of what an 8, 9, 10 is, but if you're below, and then what a 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is, right? And so if you're above an 8, great. Okay. But basically every time you go to the bathroom or eat, you voice memo or write down your negative inner dialogue. What did you say to yourself? I even have people write it down. And you do it, I would say, within a 2-week period, you will start to realize it's always repeating. It's on the same 6 loops. It is not that interesting, and it is hurtful, and it gets you upset every time, right? But it really gets the cookie in your mouth. Like it also has like, don't call, don't go out, lie to that person about what you're doing. It has a lot more dark agendas in it than just mean talk. So there's more to dissect.
So do you do this daily?
Yeah. Well, I also design my day. One of my favorite practices is I have a group of girls and I design my day every day. Like I literally write out, and it's not just what I'm going to do. It's what I'm creating and feeling and having for the day. And then I answer to it before I go to bed. Right. So I have a lot of accountability.
And what are some common bad habits people might struggle with?
Really? All of them. Yeah. all of them. Netflix. So there's dreams people have. And then there's the stories you're telling yourself for why you can't have it or why you're not going to take that risk. Right. So if you write the biggest problem with writing a dream is then you have to do it. If you never write your dream, you can be a little sad about it. Right. So the minute you go, I want 300,000 listeners. Right. You're like, dang, I got wait, everyone. You better send this podcast to someone else. Right. Like, let's go, team. Right. Like it would drive something you want. And make you risk and take actions, right? You want to get laid tonight? What are you doing about that? Right? Like, so everything needs a dream and then actions to go with it. And so your inner dialogue is either taking the right actions and making you proud. It's either working for the team or screwing with your team.
What do you mean working for the team or screwing with your team?
When you have dreams.
Yeah.
The inner dialogue's job, your hot. So here's another framework I use, which is imagine this is true. You have voices in your head and you can even ask some voices to talk. Ready? Here we go. You have a lower self. I have a lower self. I have never met a human who doesn't have a lower self. Lower self is like, ew, no, don't eat that. Smoke that, right? Like drink that, right? You deserve it, right? You'll tomorrow, right? So your lower self and your brand of lower self is your brand. And you have to know what you're into, and it's not changing. right? It's not like going to develop new bad habits. It doesn't need to. It's very into its regular bad habits. Okay. It avoids people. It doesn't want to deal with this. It's a procrastinator. So like, and everyone knows it, right? So that's the lower self. Then you have your highest lower self. Like if the lower self was the dark side and like, don't get out of bed, your highest lower self says, you better get out of bed or you're going to get in trouble. So it yells at you from fear and right. Like, you're going to get in trouble. What are you going to do? You better, like, it even tells you to lie, right? Like, say you didn't do it, right? Tell you'll do it tomorrow. You lost the email, right? So the highest lower self is like managing, like that it's like faking you out that it's your higher self, but it's still driving on fear and concern, and you're never going to have everything you want. It's okay. Become an accountant.
Mm-hmm. Such a trickster.
So then when you can hear your lower self and your highest lower self, you can then ask, what does your higher self really think?
Oh.
Ask the higher self to weigh in on what you're saying. And if you really write it down, like, lower self, what am I saying right now? I'm really hurt that my fill in the blank. What is my highest lower self says? Screw them. I'm never calling them again. What does your higher self say? Think about it. Maybe you will. Like, go for a run. Yeah. Like, get out of your head. Go listen to some music. Ooh. Go have some coffee. You need coffee, right?
I like these examples. I think Netflix is a great example that most all of us can relate to. Can you walk us through that voice? The lower, the higher, lower, and the higher.
Yeah. So first of all, it only matters if you have a dream. So if you wish you were sleeping with your husband and having more fun with your husband or your man, right? And you're sitting there watching Netflix and your voice will be going, well, he's not coming near me. Like, what's up with that? Like, are we like getting old? Like, what's happening? Like, I don't know. I'm not that into it. Like, what's really good? Like, oh shit, don't talk about, let's just enjoy the TV tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. And it's his fault. He's not coming on to me, right? And then your highest lower self says, what if he doesn't love me anymore? What if we're turning into that couple? And then your higher self says, close the TV show and ask him if he wants to take a shower with you. Let's go.
Yes. And it feels better.
And ready? Wait. It has one more comment, right? Ready? And then you can watch your show.
Okay, there we go. So it's a reward in some way as well. Two rewards.
Well, it's like if you do everything, if you get everything done you really want to get done, go have a cocktail, right? Like, this is not about being a goody two shoes and being perfect and some kind of saint. It's about respecting yourself and loving your choices.
I feel like a lot of the times that higher lower self, even the lower self, can overpower the higher self. You always sometimes know better, but don't always do better.
Yes. So the tool I've developed that I put into the Handel method for just that moment is promises. Like, you actually have to make a promise. If you're likely to, I needed a promise before I got divorced. I don't need this promise anymore. But before I got my divorce, oops, maybe it was my marriage. Obviously, like, something was up with my marriage that I needed this promise, but I kept my promise, which was sex twice a week, right? And we had three kids. So it was really like I needed a promise. And if I didn't keep the promise, I put in a consequence, which is no TV. Like, I was into Netflix. Don't worry. I was on the Netflix, right? So like, unless I got laid, I don't get my Netflix. A better example, I know it's funny. A better example was if I wanted to meditate twice a day, because I really will not meditate twice a day. And right? I'm one of the voices in my head is a brat, right? Like right? Bratty. And so what I did to make sure I meditated twice a day for 6 weeks straight was I didn't get coffee till I meditated. And I didn't get any screens till I meditated. And then guess who? And then I told my kids, like, you actually have to tell someone who will pay attention and be accountable, right? Like, and then I honestly, no kidding, if I want to make a promise I'm likely not going to keep, I will pay my kids money if I don't keep the promise.
You want to avoid that at all costs.
No, it's like that. I need all that, right? So I don't relate to myself as someone who's keeping promises because I'm just born that way. I'm like, I am born not that way, right? I'm a jerk, right? I'm not keeping that promise, right? I have so many promises to keep me being who I wanted to be with consequences in them, right? Like as parenting, right? Through parenting, right? I don't need it anymore. But back in the day when I needed it, if I had a rule, I'm not allowed to get hot, like yell. I'm not, like, I'm allowed to get upset, but I'm not allowed to get hot. And if I get hot, everyone gets $20 in earshot. Like anyone who heard me being mean or nasty or shitty in any way gets $20.
They're probably crossing their fingers that you do get hot. I'd be like, did they try to rile you up?
No. No. And then I would literally go, I'm going to get hot. Everyone's getting $20. It even got funny, right? Like it even was a comedy, but it really worked, right? I do not have a history of my kids getting, you know, scolded by me, which, you know, that we can't say that about, you know, my parents.
Right. Well, I'm sure your kids appreciate that. So you had put these personal boundaries around yourself. Mm-hmm. How do we do this? I mean, you get great examples, but what do we know what works for us? How do we figure out what will work for us?
The dream. You have to write a dream, right? If it's a career dream, if it's a love dream, if it's a body dream, family dream, friendship. So there's all these areas where you have to write a dream, right? And then how you succeed at it and what are the rules for it, like your boundaries, what you need, what you want, what you'll accept and what you won't accept, right? It really is a process of answering questions and going through a lot of thinking. I teach people to design their lives, right? Like you'll design a business, you'll design your house, but people don't even design their friendships or don't make agreements with their friends. Like, what do you need? What do you need? I need someone. I like talking to someone every day. Don't call me. Like, I don't like that. It's a lot. Right. So it's like, like that, right? So knowing each other, knowing what you're into, and then having all of those vulnerable conversations is what I direct people to do.
That sounds so valuable for your relationships. What are the 12 life areas then that we should start being more introspective about?
So they are, and I have the cutest little symbols for them too. So your relationship to yourself. So the self, your relationship to yourself, your body, your love life, your spirituality, your career, money, time, your home, your family, your friends, fun and adventure, and community and contribution.
I love it. I never really think to dissect or get super introspective about a few of those. Like, for example, my friends. What do people usually look at when they look at that area?
So people, it's like, what would your dream life be with your friends? Like, do you love your friends? Are you happy with your friends? Do you have enough friends? And is the quality of your friendship, right? Excellent. And many people are not, like, they've collected people, but they're not in love with who they collected.
That happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
That really happens. Like you're still friends with those people from high school and you're still friends with those people from college and you're still friends with that girl from work, you like in the three people you worked with, right? But are you learning from them? Do you have Sex in the City fun? Is it right? Like what is your dream? How important is that area? And what do you want it to feel like and look like in your life? And how many is enough, right? And what kind of depth in those relationships, right? So some people, and then you actually have to go make friends.
Some people might have they might put a pause on that, but they need to go out and do it.
Again, my joke in the book and everything I teach is I teach the promised land, where you keep promises to yourself that really matter to make your life special and great, right? So people can keep promises to everybody else. Like people can really keep promises to everybody else, and people hold themselves accountable. Like, what are they going to think of me out there? But we don't keep our most important promises to ourselves.
That's so important. Now, I feel like there was a period of time where I was so good at keeping promises to myself, and that's kind of fallen off the bandwagon a bit. And I think it's because I was burnt out. Do you ever witness this in people, and how do we avoid feeling burnt out about feeling extreme about, not extreme, but, you know, making sure that we stick to this?
Well, first I would check if you burnt out or achieved your goals. So a lot of times burnout is running on fumes because you need a new dream. So it is it like you were in love with chasing your dream. You were having the best time. You were keeping all those promises and then you got them.
Huh? Totally.
So makes sense. So if you tell me the area, then I would be able to understand, did you get burned out? And then there really is burnout. But more likely, your burnout is bored.
Okay.
And then you haven't created, or you're over it, right? Yeah. So dreams get fulfilled and expire. Like, we don't expect our dream to expire. Like, oh, I came up with a dream to get a house and fall in love and have a baby. And now you're sitting there going like, is this it? Right? Like, is this it? Is this it? Why did I think this was it? Like, this was it?
This is my magic of whole life.
I was sure this was it.
Oh, man.
I was sure this was it. And then you don't realize that after you get everything you wanted, right, you actually have to make new dreams. Right? Like we're like, doesn't it just last? And the answer is, everyone ready? Does it just last? The answer is no.
I've heard that when people become president of the United States, sometimes they become depressed the next day because it's like they finally got whatever it is that they were.
Wow.
I know. That's a common, right? Apparently a common thing. Yeah. It's like, okay, that makes sense. Oh, my dog.
Yes.
His last day with the cone.
Aw, does he chew his foot? What's happening?
But yeah, does he chew his foot? Well, I'd love to hear some success stories of transformations that you were able to witness from your program.
Wow.
I'm sure you have many.
Some of my favorites are people like dating after divorce, falling in love after divorce is some of the best stories ever. Like you didn't go down with the ship. You built a better life after the ship went down. Right. So that's fantastic. All I have is success stories, right? Where people chase their dreams and are so proud of themselves for doing the work to deal with their fears and conquer their fears. Like every week in my class, everyone's making promises, right? And doing the scary things. And so, you know, I've helped an incredible amount of people lose hundreds of pounds, right? Like fall back in love. Like I'm in the middle of I'm in the middle of 7 transformation. Like I have lots of clients and we're like, oh, and success in business, right? Like, so I've been, a musician named Questlove in the Roots, who plays on in Jimmy Fallon, he's in the Roots. And
cool. Questlove, yeah.
Questlove, right? So I've been coaching him for 8 years, right? And he made a film that was on his, I make people make their bucket lists and fuck it lists, right? Like bucket and fuck it.
What's a fuck it list example?
He was making films, right? So he was a musician and the fuck it list is, I won't give you his because I'll give you good news that's public.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a fuck it list is I'm never gonna do something, right? Like it's, I'm not gonna, hold on. Let me really find a fuck it. It could even be people I'm never going to see again, right? Like I was working very hard at a relationship that didn't feel good. And I have to be able to say, fuck it. Right. So it's okay to let something go. And so something from the past, like something I've been fixing and fixing and fixing, and I'm never going to fix that thing. And so it made it on the fuck it list.
Oh, right? Okay. I like that. It's fuck it. Let it go. This is not something for me anymore.
Right. Where you, it was hurting you. Right. Or thinking that you're going to write that book or make a, like the people have dreams that they're mad at themselves and then it discounts what they have because they didn't, you know, right. I have 7 employees. I don't have 70 employees, but the dream was to be huge and like, oh, I must be unhappy because I never made it. And so let's put that on the fuck it list.
I like that. That's such a healthy way of looking at it too. So you don't really live with regret. You know, you're like,
yes,
fuck it.
Like, tell the truth. Are you really going to make that thing happen or are you never doing anything about that?
I love that. I love that. But some things that we might have to think about, like, I still want to do this. Like, I still want to write a book, but I haven't yet. I don't know if it's on my bucket or fuck it list.
You know? That's bucket. No, that's okay. Exactly. So it's one or the other, right? If it ain't on the bucket, it's on the fuck it.
Oh, man. So what's one piece of advice you would give to someone who's struggling to make positive changes in their life?
Write a dream. Like, sit at, like, you know, I'm, of course I would say, read my book, take my class, come find me, right? Like, of course, really? Okay, why not, right? Like, hey, I'll inspire you. I'll make you do your homework, right? I'm that girl. I'll have my way with you. But it's never too late. I would say it's never too late to make one promise. And there always is the one promise if you started doing that one thing. Whether it's walk for 30 minutes a day, clean anything, like some people are, you know, mad at how their house looks and they're just, and they don't invite people over. And like, it could be anything, like, so clean, like any one promise, start with one promise that you'll make to someone else that, or even with your, just yourself, and keep it for 6 weeks, right? One thing you can do that is the beginning of change.
That's great. It feels very approachable too. That feels very approachable. Because I was thinking, man, these 12 areas, if I were to focus on that daily, that kind of sounds overwhelming. How do people balance looking at that?
Oh, I don't do that. I make you, so here's how this works. So I make you write your dreams in all 12 areas because it's, and only work on 1 to 3 of them. And then what happens that you don't understand, what we don't understand, which is the cool part, like for all of us who are into manifesting, when you start to write what you want and the way I make you language it, which is in first person, happened already. I am in a job that rocks my world. I love my career, right? Like, and you're literally unemployed right now. So you're like, no, don't have that, right? So you write the dream that you want, even though you don't have it right now. And our higher selves and our consciousness really start to create movement towards that. And so as you work on one area of your life or you start keeping one promise, you'd be amazed that everything starts to domino anyway. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I said I wanted more friends, but I wasn't even dealing with that area. And then I bumped into this person while I was, you know, and on my walk, right? And so so things start to cascade.
That's so true. I totally believe that, especially since I think that we subconsciously, once we write it down, we subconsciously seek it and it kind of manifests.
That's exactly right. And then the only thing you have to watch out for, right, which is a funny word I coined a long time ago, which is just like you can manifest something, you can manafuck yourself with something too. So that's why it's very, the trick I do if you're manafucking yourself, which is thinking something's going to go badly, is the minute you catch the thought is manafucking you, right? Right. As you can do one of two things or whatever you're into. But as a, if you can't tell you guys, I'm a New York Jew. I do tut-tut-tut, right? If I hear a tut-tut-tut, spit three times. Literally, like if I hear a negative thought that I just said to myself that's mean or dark or something I don't want, I have a rule. I will tut-tut-tut.
I like that.
And it kind of makes me giggle. It's to make you giggle, right? Like to do something to make you like break the spell.
I love that.
Right? Okay. Or you can knock if you're on the Christian side of town, you can like knock on wood, right? It's the same idea that they had from how long ago?
I like that too.
Right. So it's not.
I love that.
I love
that. I love a good ta-ta-ta. I feel like I should call this episode Man of Fucking Yourself. I'm just kidding. I won't. But, or your next book.
Yes.
Should be that.
Stop.
I really like that.
Yes. And then once you get into it, you're like, that's man of fuckery, right? Like you can actually have a really good time with it, right?
It brings a lot of light to the negativity and the darkness.
Amen. That's exactly the point. Amen.
Now, how do you see the future of Handle Group and Inner You? What do you see for the future?
All I want is more and more people in the class. You get a buddy, you have a promise tracker, you get free coaching. It's like once you buy the class, you're in. And I it's just fantastic. And so my job is to just be a spokesperson, like a screaming, flaring spokesperson, that I promise that this will rock your world. And it's not very expensive. And it's for life. Like you can have, once you buy one class, you can have me and the community for life.
So cool.
So
do you choose between love or what is it? Inner You Love, Inner You Career, Inner You. Do you
Inner You Life.
Life. Okay.
You pick what, if you're looking for the love of your life or you're looking to resolve what you've been through with love, Inner You Love is my process on healing and sorting out what's wrong with, you know, my line is most people have bad pickers. And they don't understand their head, their heart, and their hoo-ha. Your head, we all, right? You have a head, you have a heart, you have a hoo-ha. So I have a lot of language I've developed so people can start to think and talk better to themselves and understand themselves better. So you pick either love because you need it, you know who you are. And then Inner You Life is my basics. Like it's the right thing to get. You'll even deal with love, but it's the 12 areas of life.
It's the 12 areas.
Right.
Okay.
And then Inner
You. It's not as in-depth for love or in-depth for career.
That's exactly right. And it you're not getting the same things. It's like it's really all my content. I'm going to make more content, but these are my basic last 20 years basics, right?
Right. What is the Inner You Career like? What are some modules people can expect from that?
Oh, I do a whole structure on power and power dynamics. And, you know, I do a whole talk on, we don't understand there's pecking order and we don't know where we are in our pecking order of our pecking order, how we put everyone in a pecking order, right? And where we think we... So for example, imagine it's true that two people can go one-to-one with each other, one-to-one, one-to-one, we're equal. What do you want? No, what do you want? Where do you want to go to dinner? Where do I want to go to dinner? Right. You can be one-to-one with anyone. You can be one-to-one with a seven-year-old and talk to them like everything they're thinking matters to you. Right. Okay. Imagine that's true. That's great. This is a great answer. One-to-one is great. I'm going to give the only other good answer. And then after that, everything else is a shit show. Okay. There's one more good answer. It's also true that you can be a happy one and someone can, with you, like the other person, is a happy two. Right? I don't want to be in charge of the money, honey. You be in charge of the money, right? So in a relationship, I can be a one, I could be the boss of it, and you could be a happy two. And it's not less power, but you're not making those decisions. You're not in charge of that, right? So someone's a one, there's a boss, and then there's a two, right? And that's also fantastic, right? Like you choose, right? Or you could be a one and the taxi driver is a two and you're like, hey, take me down West Side Highway. and then go this way, this way, this way, this way. And they go, sure, because I'm paying, right? Or we could go one-to-one and go, hey, where do you think we should go? How do you should do it? Like, oh, that sounds good. Are you sure? Right. So one-to-one versus a one and a two.
Sense. Okay. Totally.
Okay. And then everything else is a shit show. It's too long to talk about, but I'll do one of the shit shows so you can get it. And imagine that it's true. You can be a happy one, like you're the boss, with a disgruntled two, right? So the two is not happy, but they're a two. And so they don't have the power and they literally are fake, stuck in their heads. And they have a list of everything the one is doing wrong. So you can be a disgruntled two.
Do you think that they're a reserved one? The disgruntled twos actually wants to be a one?
Absolutely. You know? That is very, like you have a one in your head. That's what I call, you're a one in the head. You're a one talking to maybe even other people, but you're a disgruntled fake two to the boss or your husband or your best friend, like you. And based on the subject, so I have a whole variety of different examples, but based on the subject, you will change positions. So when it comes to you and your boyfriend, when it comes to money, he's a one and you're a two. When it comes to where you're eating, you're a one and he's a two. And when it comes to getting laid, he's a one and you're a two. And when, like, so depending on the subject, who's cleaning the house, who's saying, like, so everything. So when you know your power dynamics, you can actually have, I then teach you frameworks for having difficult conversations or powerful conversations. So in all the career stuff, it's all the ways to deal with bosses and employees and even figuring out what you want to do and all the ways you deal with in a career.
How about for people that are unemployed and they want to find their career or figure out their dreams? Do you recommend life for them maybe?
Life will get it done. Life is probably a better idea for people who just want to figure out getting a job because something's going on and there's something behind the scenes very likely. And then maybe you don't really know what you want or why did you, like, if you need motivation, you would do Inner You Life and come to the class, right? And because it's also, there's nothing harder than when you don't have a job and you're looking for a job. And I do have content on that. Like I have a lot of work I do with people to get jobs.
That's so great.
Thank you.
That is awesome. Or create a job for themselves maybe.
All kind. There are so many options of how to feel productive and like make your, like get yourself going.
Wow. Right? It's so well-rounded. And I can tell you're so passionate about it because you just know you've seen so many success stories from it. People have stayed with you for years, decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you've been doing this for 2 decades now?
I think it's over 2 decades. I think so. If I'm 54 and I've been doing this since 28, what yeah. do we got? Okay. What do we got?
Very cool.
Someone do the math.
That is over 2 decades. So that's very cool.
Yes.
And I'm so, so thankful to hear all this stuff. Like, this is such an honor to connect with somebody who has thought out at such a young age too. You thought this out at 28, this whole system. And then it's actually worked.
I didn't put the system together till I started teaching it. So it was like 6 or 7 years into coaching. I developed the system after I had coached a couple hundred people. Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Over time. That's really cool. That is so cool. Are there any messages, anything else you want to share about this before I ask you the last question and also where everyone can connect with you?
I appreciate the work you're putting in for doing a podcast. I think it's awesome. I really do. And I love that people care to connect and listen. That's just the best. And so it's inspiring. You're inspiring.
I am very thankful that people care to connect and listen too. And listen to this podcast. What's inspiring are the guests indeed. And so I'm so thankful to have you on. And this is the last question that I ask all the Euro Magic guests.
Okay. Yes.
How would you advise the Euro Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Make a list of things you want and who you can ask for it and start asking for things you want. You'd be amazed at how little we ask for what we want. So magic comes from asking for what you want. And you have to name a person and ask them for something and learn to be okay with getting a no. but get good at asking.
So true, because how do you know it could possibly happen? But if you don't ask, how do you know?
Right.
How do you know?
And then if that weirds you out, like, I can't ask for something. I can't ask for something unless I give something to. Then that's fantastic. Good. I want to ask you for something, but I'm going to ask you for this, but then you get to ask me for something.
Nice. Yeah.
Right. And then so you could do it that way. Yes. Yeah, you can do it that way too. Feel.
I love that.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Lauren, I love this system that you've created and helped so many people.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you about Croatia as well before we really wrap it up, because you she had just picked up and moved to Croatia because she was over where she lived. I totally respect that. I think that's actually very awesome and commendable. And so what made you decide to just pick up and move?
Well, first of all, I got divorced after, being with my husband for 25 years, and I had basically sold him the house, right? Like, I had nowhere to live. I always wanted to travel the world, and it was just when abortion got illegal in the US, and I was like, what is going on with this country? And I went on my way and said, I'm going to look for love and country, right? And really just start, and I'm not dying for either, right? And you're allowed to, like, as an American, you can 90-day hop from country to, like, you can 90-day hop. And there's so many places I wanted to see in the world. And I was building my business, and I can build it from anywhere, and I can see my kids and get there and figure out how to do everything. And so I started 90-day hopping. And I was only going to go places that I was okay to live. Because if I dated and fell in love, I wanted to be able to stay. And I fell in love so I didn't get very far. I made it through Switzerland and had to leave, and then came to Croatia, and they were great. Swiss men were great. I did not find who I fell in love with, my person, right? And this is my place, right? This is my place. This is the best. Like, Croatia I live on Korčula. It's a stunning island. And I'm a painter while I'm coaching. And it's a beautiful lifestyle. It's beautiful.
Just living the dream.
Yeah.
And you've crafted and designed your life and dream for so long, but did you picture this? Did it end up turn out even better than you expected because you followed the nudges of where you wanted to go in your higher voice?
I'm
very cool.
I wrote out my dreams. I have a coach. I read them to her, right? She knows, like, I do my own program. And when I lead my classes, we're all in it together, right? So I don't, like, I'm not like the teacher who doesn't have issues. I'm the teacher who's telling the truth about everything.
We love an honest queen. We want to hear the truth. So, oh my gosh. Thank you, Lauren. I love this conversation so much. I'm so thankful you came on the show. And I hope you come on again sometime.
I will, anytime you invite me.
Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.